Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Praise the good Lord, everybody. Amen. We praise God for being here on the show today. Amen. I am your host, Adam Tuggle, and this is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, we are here. We are live, and we are live on Blog Talk Radio. We are live right here on the Spirit Alive Network. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to first give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. In Jesus' name, I want to give honor to the founder of this great network, the Spirit Alive Network, Apostle Cook. We thank you in Jesus' name. We thank God for you in Jesus' name and all of the Spirit Alive family in Jesus' name. Also, last but not least, giving honor to my pastor, and my First Lady, in Jesus' name, Pastor William Tuggle III, and First Lady Cosette Tuggle, God bless you, in Jesus' name, and also giving honor to my beautiful wife, amen, Kiswana Tuggle, amen, God bless you, in Jesus' name, amen. We thank God for being here. And that's just, I'm full of life today. And number one, one of the reasons is because I've this weekend, me and my wife decided to go and just go take care of ourselves. We sent our children with the grandparents, and we decided to go tend to ourselves. We are having some together time, and then we're having some separate time to ourselves. So we just taking care of ourselves today. Amen. So I thank God for that, and I'm getting rest. Amen. I thank God for that. But I thank God today for the topic today, most of all, above all that. Today's topic is a very, very powerful topic. Now, last week, we talked about the drawing power of Jesus Christ. Amen. And how Jesus drew people. Today, we're going to be on that same platform today, but today's topic is Seek ye the power. Seek ye the power. There are a lot of people in this world that are looking for things to help their life, to progress their life. And we have so many things in the world that will say are will help lead that individual or those individuals to the power that they need for their life. There are so many things in the world, and I'm not even going to go through the list of things that the world has to offer that say, hey, if you do this, you can receive this power, and you can receive that power in your life, and you can, and none of it really works. None of it really works. Because most of the power from the world sense, it is a false evidence appearing real. And I know you might say, that sums up fear. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of people are looking to the world to because of fear. It's false evidence appearing real. The reason, the things of the world that the devil brings to our life that try with that we think might help us cope with life. The reason why it's false evidence is because these things will not sustain us all the way. Actually, when it comes from the world sense, it will eventually destroy us. And this goes for saint and sinner. And so the topic today is seek ye the power. Now, how and why do we have power, and what is the power? A lot of people, there's an old song in the world that says, I got the power. And that song was not a spiritual song. See, that's the power that the world gives. That's the power that the world gives. But it is a temporary fix for a major problem. I want you to hear me today. I'm not jumping and leaping and screaming and all that because I want you to get this today. You have to seek ye the power. What is that power? It is Jesus. And I'm going to show you through Scripture. We're going to break this down today. We're going to see in the Scripture what the power does and how we receive it. And I know that this has been taught many, many times. But in Matthew, and I'm going to start off in Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 33, just to give you a glimpse of what what God is trying to take us through this topic today. In Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse number 30, and it reads, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where shall we be clothed? Verse 32, for after all these things do the Galileans seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. And I like verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, let's drop down to Matthew chapter 7, the next chapter. And let's go down to the 7th and 8th verse. Just these two verses. Verse 7 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8 says, for everyone that asks receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, what is the Lord trying to say? In Matthew chapter 6, if we go back to Matthew chapter 6, he was talking about the fear of man. And a lot of people are in fear because they do not know the outcome of their life. They look people, even in the church, they look at the problems of their life, and they get so much, they get so boggled down with the problems of their life, and they get so, when the problems of life happen, then they start to get in fear. Then when you're in fear, you start to, your mind gets discombobulated. Then you start looking to this and looking to that, and you start going here and going there looking for relief. But that's why I said it is false evidence appearing real. This is why people in life turn to drugs, turn to alcohol, and I'm just using this as an example. Because this is not everything that they turn to. This is why people turn to this thing and that thing. But I remember my former pastor saying a long time ago that a lot of people, they look for life in all the wrong places. They're looking for life, but they're looking for it in the wrong places. And these are the false evidences that are appearing real unto them, that will give them hope, that will bring them relief, that they think that will bring them relief. But it does not bring you relief. Now, you might say, well, this thing is helping me cope and everything. And it might help you cope for a little bit. It might seem that way. But at the end thereof, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. That's why the things of the world, the devil paints a beautiful picture in front of all of us, saint and sinner, and will tell you that this is what you need for your life to help your life progress. But he does not tell you. He does not tell you the end of it. He just shows you that he tries to paint up a beautiful picture that, hey, the grass is greener on the other side. You don't need to put the Bible down, put the Word of God down, and come on over here. But he does not show you the destruction that waits for you at the end of it. For example, a person that does alcohol, a person that does drugs, and I'm not focusing just on those type of people, but I'm using this as an example. When you continue to use drugs or alcohol or anything that might be detrimental to you, to your body, eventually it breaks down your body. And it destroys the body if you keep using it, right? This is the same thing with natural and spiritual. If we keep going to the things, if we keep seeking the things that are detrimental to us, the false evidence appearing real, if we keep looking to that, eventually it will destroy us. John, I believe it's in John chapter 10 and 10. Matter of fact, let's go there. The Lord just brought that scripture to my mind. John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Because I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you something. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it shows us what the Lord brings and what the devil brings to our life. Now, like I said earlier, the devil paints a beautiful picture. The devil paints a beautiful picture. The Bible says, like I quoted earlier, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Right? Okay. Watch this. The Bible lets us know where that death comes from. It comes from sin. Anything that the enemy brings to you is not godly. Anything that the devil tries to tempt you with, whether you be saint or sinner, is not going to help your spiritual walk with Christ. It's going to help lead into your sinful nature. It's going to help your sinful nature.
You don't need to help your sinful nature. The wages of sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now watch this. John 10 and 10. This is why the devil paints the devil tries to paint a beautiful picture in front of the sinner man or that saint that might fall into the trap. Watch this. This is what he does. It says, "For the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's the devil. That's the devil. See, and he kills us slowly. The destroy is the death that the devil brings with these things, with these temptations that come in our life, with these things of, with these desire, these fleshly desires that come in our lives, when these thoughts that are ungodly come into our mind and we think on them and we ponder on them and after you've done pondered on it and thought on it and analyzed it, you will do it if you don't get it out your mind. You will do it. You will act upon what you're thinking about. The Bible says, such as a man thinketh, so is he. I really want you to understand this. Such as a man thinketh, so is he. So once you've pondered on what the devil has placed in your mind, you'll act upon it. Because it went from your mind to your heart. That's why the Bible says, what such as a man thinketh, so is he. Because that thought has entered into your heart. You've pondered on it a while, and you let it sink down into your heart, and you've acted upon it. But we must seek the power. The Bible, in the last part of the John 10 and 10, it says, "But I came that they might have life, and that more abundantly." That they might have it more abundantly. He came that we might have life. Okay. So if we know that he came to give us life, this is how he came to give us life. He showed us the life. I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, watch this. Jesus showed the power of himself and gave us that power through him. Just like we just quoted John 10 and 10. I came that they might have life, right? You cannot live without the power. What is the power? It is Jesus. Now watch this. Let's go to, I'm going to show you. He came that we might have life. Now watch this. Let's go to Matthew 14 and 14. Just to show you. Because he said, I came that they might have life. Okay? We're going to go to Matthew 14 and 14. See what Matthew 14 and 14 says. And I want you to understand this. I want you to get it. Matthew 14 and 14 says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." He healed their sick. He healed their sick. He was moved with love. He was moved with compassion, and he healed them. And not all that he healed throughout the Word of God, it shows us different times where he healed, where he preached, where he taught, where he gave. These are healings that Jesus did. He laid hands on the sick, and they recovered. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. Amen. All through the Bible, he healed. He healed. He healed mental capacity. He healed physical ailments. He healed everything, financial, spiritual. He healed every area of our life. That's why when we go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 through 33, it says, your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of. He knows what you have need of. That's why he healed it. He can heal all manner of sickness and disease. A disease and a sickness does not have to be always physical. It can be mental. It can be physical. It can be emotional. It can be financial. It can be whatever the sickness or the disease is. It can be a spiritual disease. He heals every area of our life. He can touch. He said he knows the feelings of our infirmities. That's why he can heal them. This is why he told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We have to seek the power. We have to seek the power. Now, let's go over to Mark. Now, I'm going to give you Mark chapter 3. I'm going to give you some examples. Mark chapter 3. This is one good example. Amen. I really, really want you to get this. Mark chapter 3. And this is a physical healing. This was a physical healing in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Amen. And it reads, and he entered again unto the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill it, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, began grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now, this was a physical healing. But this man with this withered hand, when Jesus called him, because we see it in verse 3, that he called for him. He said, stand forth. When Jesus calls for us, we must seek him. This man with the withered hand, he was seeking to be healed, and he sought the power. He sought the power, and he got healed. He was restored whole. Everything about him was restored. Everything about him was delivered. Not just his hand, but everything about him was delivered. Amen. These are things that we must do. We must seek God. He is the power. And look, he, as we talked about last week, the drawing power of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, stand forth. This man with the withered hand saw something in Jesus. And he knew, hey, if I can get my hand restored, if I can get my hand delivered, I'm going to go. I know this man can deliver. There's something about this man. There's something about the power. And he went to the power. And he stood forth. He stood before him. He was standing before the power that we must seek on a day-to-day basis. He was literally standing before the power. Literally. Now, let's go to John 14. Because I want to show you something there. The Lord wants to show us something. In John chapter 14. John chapter 14, starting at verse number 12. Amen. In John chapter 14, starting at verse number 12. And it reads, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believe on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name," that's the name of Jesus, "that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Amen. This is what we have to do. This is seeking him. This is seeking the power. Amen. Seeking the power. He said, "Greater works than these shall ye do." I want to, in that verse, in verse number 12, it says, I'm going to read it again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, ye shall do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father." He's telling us that when we seek the power, and we have the power on the inside of us, the works that Jesus did, healing the sick, raising the dead, ministering to the sick, ministering to their spiritual needs, their natural needs, whatever type of needs it is, through the power of Jesus Christ, greater works than these shall we do. Now, watch this. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. So I'm going to show you. Amen. I'm going to show you an example of that, of greater works. I'm going to show you an example. Amen. Acts chapter 3. Starting at verse number 6. And it reads, "Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." Now, he said, "Whatsoever ye ask in my name." We read that in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, right? Now, this is Peter. He told his disciples in Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore preaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." This is what he was talking about. This is what he was talking about. In Colossians 3:17, it says, "Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus," right? In Matthew 28:19, he was specifically telling his disciples, "You baptize in my name, you heal in my name, you preach in my name, you cast down devils in my name. And everything that you do in my name, because that's where the power comes from. The power comes from me. Not you, me. The power comes through Jesus. So this is what Peter was doing. He was obeying the command, the Great Commission that was founded in Matthew 28:19. This is what Peter was doing. This is why I said a long time ago, that is not, and I'm getting a little bit off topic here, but Matthew 28:19, some preachers like to use that as a form of baptism. No. Nobody from Genesis to Revelations would baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Nobody. This was the Great Commission. This was the commandment from God to his disciples to tell them, hey, whatever you do as far as ministry, as far as healing, as far as teaching, do it in my name, because that's where the power comes from. That's where people will be saved from, because you can't do it in anybody else's name, because nobody else's name has the power. There is no name given among men whereby we must be saved, the Bible says, right? So that's the name. And this is what Peter was doing. That's why Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You can't receive what you need without seeking the power. The power is in the name of Jesus. This is what Peter was doing. He said in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, starting in verse 6, he said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And watch this. Verse 7 says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You might say, well, how did they receive strength? Because Peter used the name. Peter used the power. He knew where the power source was from, so he used it. He was commanded by God, because Peter was one of the disciples. He was commanded by God in Matthew 28:19. We were commanded in Colossians 3:17. But he was specifically talking to the disciples verbatim in Matthew 28:19. He was face-to-face with them and was telling them, you baptize in my name, because he's the Father, he's the Son, and he is the Holy Ghost. He is. Amen? God, we already know that John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14 counts him as the Father. Matthew 1:21 counts him as the Son. And John chapter 14, verse 26 counts him as the Holy Ghost. So he was saying, do these things in my name, because that's where the power is. You seeking the power, when you call on my name, you're seeking the power. And he told us in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. He was commanding us. He was talking to us. Whatever you do in word or in deed, you live your life for me. You ask you anything that you need, ask for me. Ask it from me. Don't go to these other sources that are out there in the world. Amen? Don't go out there. Because we cannot live life without the power. You might say, oh, well, I can live without Jesus. I know I can't. Oh, no, you can't. I'll show you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Let's go to Matthew chapter, verses 3 and 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And I'm going to show you. We cannot live life without the power. We can't do it. We cannot live life, a true abundant life, like it's recorded in John 10 and 10. That's life. The Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the what? The life. People that are not living in Christ are truly not living life. You might be in existence. You might be walking around the earth, but you're not truly living life. What you think is life is false evidence appearing real. It is. So let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse number 3. Now watch this. I want you to see this. This is, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to read these two verses. Then we're going to break this down. In Matthew chapter 4, verse, starting at verse number 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be turned to bread. Verse number 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You might say, well, what has this got to do with that? Yeah, I know you Bible scholars, people that know the word of God, you might say, well, what has this got to do with that? This ain't got nothing to do with this. This is Jesus being tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane. It got a lot to do with it. It got a lot to do with it. I know why these two verses are here. He was tempted so that he was the example, right? Yeah, that was true. But also, he was letting us know something too. For what God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now watch this. Everything out there in the world that the world says, this will bring you peace, that'll bring you peace, this will bring you rest, that'll bring you rest. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone. But every word, that means you can live without that stuff. Because it said, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, which means you don't need the alcohol, which means you don't need the smokes, you don't need the drugs, you don't need the women, you don't need the men, you don't need the false evidence appearing real, because you have something that's greater than that. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Why? Because the Bible says, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. But by every word. That but in there says, I don't need that. I don't need the things of the world because I have something greater than that. That but says a lot. That but right there, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, which means man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. This is why the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You got to make a choice. You cannot have both. You can't have both. You can't have the world and have God too. You got to choose. This is why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. If you don't choose God, you're living by bread alone. The bread which in verse three, yes, he was tempting God because Jesus was fasting. Jesus was fasting, and he was trying to get him to eat natural bread so he can break his fast. But you might say, well, what does that got to do with anything? He was trying to get him to please his flesh, because his flesh wanted the Jesus's flesh, his natural body wanted to eat. And that's the same thing with us. Our flesh wants to eat the things of the world. That bread got a lot to do with it. That temptation got a lot to do with what we're dealing with now. That's why out of the remedies of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, the devil tries to tempt us with, just like he tempted Jesus. These three areas, he cannot come outside of these three areas, but in these three areas, he brings a lot of temptation. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He cannot come out of those three areas and tempt you, because in these three areas, he tempted Jesus. Amen? This was the first one. And then as we read further, he gives in to, he shows him the kingdoms of the world and the various things. But these are the three different areas. But Jesus had already went through that as the example, yes. But in these two verses, he's showing us that we don't need that. The bread that the devil brings, we don't need it because it's going to bring us death. The devil paints a beautiful picture. The devil brings out a beautiful table. I call the devil a con artist. Why? Because he is a con artist. He paints up a beautiful picture. But I say this. The painting might look great, but the artist might be crazy. What do you mean by that? You might say, well, Brother Adam, what do you mean by that? The painting might look great, but the artist might be crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, what I mean by that is that painting of the Sistine Chapel and those paintings that we see in museums and stuff, we don't know how them people's minds are. That painting looks good. But that artist of that painting, they mind might be all messed up. They might have been messed up when they painted it. The devil's mind is crazy. He paints up a beautiful picture. Makes it all look good. He made it look good for Eve. And Eve fell into the trap. And then he tried to do it again to Jesus. But Jesus didn't fall for it. Oh, well, Jesus is God. You know, he's not going to fall for it. Right. We know this. But he was still in the same position that we were in. That's why the Bible says he knows the feelings of our infirmities. Because right there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in our position that we as people are in now. He was put in that position to be the example for us. He sought the power. He was being the example for us. See, there's a lot you can get out of these verses. He was the example for us. Now watch this. Let's go over to Acts chapter 17. Let's do this. Let's go to Acts. I'm going to show you. The Lord is good. I'm just going to put it that way, because I could say a lot about Jesus. A lot of great things about Jesus. But watch this. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Let's go to verse 28. Acts 17, verse 28. And let's see what this says. It says, For in him we live and we move and we have our being. Just that part right there. I just want to read that part right there. I know there's other parts of that verse, but I wanted to read that part right there. In him we live and we move and we have our being. What are you trying to say, Brother Adam? Well, what I'm trying to say is that bread, that sinful nature, those thoughts that come into your mind, the stones being turned to bread that the tempter tried to bring Jesus. You don't need that. Because in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. We don't need that. That is false evidence appearing real. It is what it is. I'm sorry, but this is the word of God. You don't need AA meetings to cope. Really, you really don't. But you might say, well, what about, now, I'm not saying that it's not good to go to the doctor, because there's some people that are crazy enough to say, well, I don't need a doctor. I don't need to go to the doctor about my sickness. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm giving you two examples. Number one, your doctor, as far as your health, is the ruler over you. And the Bible says, obey the ones that have the rule over you. Take your medicine. I don't know who I'm talking to, and I don't know who this is for, because there are some believers that will say, well, I don't go to the doctor because God said I was healed already. As they went, they were healed. The woman with the issue of blood went to the doctor. Until she was healed. Yes, you do not have to accept what the doctor says. You do not have to accept the diagnosis, but it is good to go to the doctor to get a diagnosis so you'll know what to pray for. It is good for you to take your medicine because the Bible lets us know that the Lord can use anything to heal us with. It ain't always the laying on of hands. Jesus used the spittle. He used mud. He spit on the ground and turned it into mud and put it in the man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool. He never, ever laid hands on him as far as praying for him. He spit on the ground, turned the spit into spittle, and he put the mud in the man's eyes and told him to go wash. God healed that man through mud, using mud. Why can't he heal you using medicine? It's good for you to take, if the doctor tells you take your medicine. Go ahead. I ain't going to tell nobody not to take their medicine. But on the flip side of that, you do not have to accept what man tells you. You don't have to accept the diagnosis, but be obedient. Be obedient to the ones that are ruled over you, because if you're disobedient, you might end up messing up your healing for whatever it is. Should I go to the psychiatrist? Me personally, now this is not Bible, I don't believe in psychiatry. Because there are some psychiatrists that are jumping out of windows. They crazy themselves, some of them. But what you just said, I don't need an AAA meeting. You don't. You don't. You really don't. But it's good. If you feel like you need that, go ahead. But as they went, they were healed. You pray before you go inside that AA meeting or whatever you're doing. Sometimes pray over your medicine. Every now and then, I take medicine, and I'm going to be honest with you. I take medicine. You know what I do sometimes? Every now and then, I'll dip my medicine in blessed oil. I sure will. I sure will. You know why? Because I don't want the blessed oil just to hit my head. I want it to go down to my down in my body. I don't know who this is for, because I done got off the lesson. Amen. This right here is for us. Seek ye the power. We seek him. How do we get to the power? Well, you said seek, so how do I get there? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Matter of fact, before I do that, I want to get some comments from my Spirit of Life family or anybody who's listening that might want to comment at this time. You can do so at this time. Before I go into this part on how to get to the power that God is talking about today. If there's anybody that is listening in that wants to leave a comment at this time, you sure can at this time in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I praise God for this topic today, because we have to seek the power. We definitely have to seek the power of God. There are so many people, and I hate to say it like this, but there are so many people in the church that have turned away from the power. In Jude, in the book of Jude, it says, earnestly contend for the faith. What does that mean? Seek. Simply one word, seek. That faith that God has put in place in his word, we must earnestly contend. We must earnestly, every day, we must seek the power. So how do we seek the power? Let's go to Galatians. Let's go to the book of Galatians. So I'm going to show you Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Starting at verse 22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Amen. We are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there bound nor free, neither is there male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. I like verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, inherit according to the promise. Now, in these verses, it shows us a lot. We're going to break it down. In these verses, I want to touch on a couple of things in these verses. First of all, I want to touch on the schoolmaster. What is the schoolmaster? Sin. We are no longer under sin. Once you have come into the faith, how do you come into the faith? It shows us all right here in these verses. How do we come from up under the schoolmaster? How do we get into the faith? The faith wasn't revealed underneath the law. The faith was revealed after. The faith was not revealed under the law. The Bible says in the book of Jude, like I said, we must earnestly contend for the faith. What is the faith? The power. What is the power? The power is the promise. The faith and the promise and the power go hand in hand. Now watch this. It was revealed to us. Amen? It was revealed to us. Amen? That we should be baptized into Christ, having put on Christ. Watch this. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Real quick, before I get into being baptized in and what the promise is, I want to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 9, real quick. There's a lot to eat on. There's a lot to digest. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Because if you're not baptized, it says if you got to be baptized into Christ. It says you got to be baptized into Christ. That's the steps. That's the earnestly contending for the faith. That's the start of seeking right there. And why did he say that? Let's read verse 9 in Romans chapter 8. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Which means if you do not take on the promise that God has for you, if you are not baptized in Jesus' name, because we done already established, we got to do everything in Jesus' name, then you have not taken on the promise. There is a promise for you. You have to be. This is how we get to the power. We have to be baptized in Jesus' name. You don't believe me? Let's go to John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And it reads, and these are the words of Jesus. This ain't the word of Adam. This ain't Minister Adam talking. These are the words of Jesus. Let's start in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered and said unto him, and he's talking to Nicodemus, a man by the name of Nicodemus. He's talking to him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Which means, how can I be born again if I'm a grown man? I can't come out of my mother's womb again because I'm grown, okay? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He thought, Nicodemus thought that he was talking about a natural birth. Jesus wasn't talking about a natural birth. He already knew the natural birth, it was done for. He knew it. He's talking about a spiritual birth. And Jesus answered him. He replied unto what Nicodemus said unto Jesus. Jesus is replying in verse number 5. He said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Amen. And I'm going to read verse number 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Which means the two can't intertwine. You were born in the flesh. You were born in sin. We see that in the book of Psalms where David said in sin did my mother conceive me, right? That's your natural birth. That was flesh with flesh. Now you have to be spirit with spirit. He said, in sin, iniquity. Amen? Iniquity is sin. When David was born, he was born in sin, which means everybody from Adam on down to now is born in sin. Okay, so you got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. This is the promise. Matthew 28:19 lets us know, he said, do whatsoever you do. Colossians 3:17. Let's go to Matthew 28:19. Because he said you got to be born again of the water and the Spirit, right? So let's go to that Matthew 28:19, where Jesus commanded his disciples. Amen. He was commanding his disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This shows us in the name of, name. It didn't say name. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. We've already established who the Father is. We already established who the Son is. We already established who the Holy Ghost is, right? Okay, it's Jesus. So we got to baptize in Jesus' name. Where in the Bible does it say that I got to be baptized in Jesus' name? We have Acts 2:38. But I want to go to, real quick before we go there, go to Acts chapter 2 real quick. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Because I'm going to look there. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, real quick. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it reads, this is the reason why. This is the reason why in Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore, teaching and all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This is the reason why. Because in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. At the beginning of that verse, it says he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Okay, what does that mean? Let's go to Acts 1 and 8. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Boom. Right there. He said he was going to pour out in the last days, he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Right? And then he said in Acts 1 and 8, he said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What is his spirit? The Holy Ghost. John chapter 14, verse 26 says, and the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will be given in his name, right? We got to use the name of Jesus, right? Okay, so watch this. He said he's going to pour out his spirit. We go over to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 of the day of Pentecost. Bow. That's when he poured it out. That's when the last days began. This is why we need Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He said he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh after the Holy Ghost has come. He said in Acts 1 and 8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. He's going to pour out his spirit. He poured it out in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And he showed us how to receive it. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. That was the promise that he was talking about. That was the promise in Galatians. He said, be baptized in Christ, in Christ. How are we baptized in Christ? How are we baptized in Christ? Acts 2 and 38. Acts 2 and 38 and 39. Watch this. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Verse 39. For the promise, it said in Galatians, talked about the promise, right? This is the promise. For the promise is unto you. What is the promise? The Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? The power that we must seek. The power. Because it said in Acts 1 and 8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have what? Power. Power to do what? Power to live right. Power to talk right. Power to tell the devil no, just like he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's why that but is there. But every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Whatever the Spirit of God gives you to do is coming out of the mouth of God. If he tells you to go left, you go left. Why? Because there's life there. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And it says, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. This goes to generations. Generations. You hear me? From the day of Pentecost on up until now, everybody's had the privilege and the honor to receive the Holy Ghost. Nobody's left without an excuse. From the beginning of time up until the day of Pentecost, they lived by faith because there was no Holy Ghost to be given out. Just in case people tried to say, well, what about people like Moses? What about people like David? They didn't have no Holy Ghost. Did they get to heaven? Yes, they did, because they lived by faith, because there was no Holy Ghost to be given out. The Lord is not crazy. The Lord is not stupid. So he's not going to hold them accountable for something that he did not pour out yet. He said in the last days, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Those weren't the last days yet. The last days came on the day of Pentecost. That's when the last days started. And so when we look at this, when we look at the promise and we receive the promise, then you can say Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that are. Matter of fact, I ain't even going to quote it. We're going to read it because I don't want to miss a word. Amen. Romans 8 and 28. I know it, but I'm so hyped up right now, I don't want to miss a word. Amen. And Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, watch this. His promise leads to the purpose that God has for you. The power, his promise, the promise leads to the power, which leads to the purpose for your life. Let me say it again. The promise, which is, he promised, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. In the last days, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He promised that. That's the promise. It said in verse 39 of Acts chapter 2, and this promise, the promise leads to the power, which leads to the purpose for your life. Amen. Then you're able to say, once you, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I think I believe it's in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You want strength in your life? Seek the power. The Bible says when you're weak, you're strong. You seek the power of God. Seek the Holy Ghost in everything that you do. I guarantee you there's power that comes from it. That's why Colossians 3 and 17, like we quoted earlier, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? We do that because we have to seek him in all that we do so that we won't be led astray from the power. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If we stay on the greater, if we stay with the power, if we say seeking him in everything that we do, as it was quoted earlier, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be in his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything that we need lies in the power of God, lies in him. He is the power. He is the power. He is the power. If you don't believe me, go to Genesis 1 and 1, then go to St. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. Then go to John chapter 14, verse 26. He is the power. He is the Holy Ghost. In the beginning, in Genesis, you might say, well, what does Genesis 1 and 1 have to do with it? Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning, God. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. He is the power that we need. In the beginning, God was the Word. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm going to go there real quick because I only got a little bit of time left. John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we drop down to verse 14, and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. We go over to John chapter 14, as we've already established. John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. This right here shows us that he was talking about himself. Because just before, in Matthew 28:19, just before Jesus descended back up into heaven, he told his disciples what to do before he descended back up into heaven. Right there. He was talking about himself. He gave them specific instructions before he descended back up into heaven. We have to seek the power. Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through what? Christ that strengtheneth me. Well, how do I get to Christ? You have to do Acts 2 and 38. You have to do what he told Nicodemus. You got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. You got to be. Otherwise, we cannot see the kingdom of God. We're not fit for the kingdom of God if we're not born again of the water and the Spirit. I'm going to give you an example real quick. In the natural, a baby, a natural born baby, needs two things to live while it's in its mother's womb. It needs blood and it needs water. The spiritual, you need two things to live. In the spirit, you need the blood of Jesus and you need the water of baptism. Because once you come up out of the water and you've had that blood applied to your life, then you can live. Soon as you take on the name of Jesus through baptism, you might say you are a believer, but belief is an action word. What I believe in, I'm going to act upon. And the action that Jesus told us to take was to be baptized in his name. The word baptism The word baptized, I believe it's in the Greek or Hebrew word of it, is baptizo, which means submerge. What does submerge mean? Going underwater. Going underneath the water. Not sprinkled. That's a shower. And since I've already had a shower, I don't need another one. Some Catholics believe that baptism is just a sprinkling of water. That's a shower. Sorry to say it that way, but it is. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. Not in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but you must be baptized. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit to receive the power. And for you to continue, for you to be able to continue to seek the power. Because after you receive the Holy Ghost, you got to be a witness. As it states in Acts 1 and 8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be what? Witnesses. You gotta tell people. That's why we said, greater works than these shall ye do. That's why Jesus said it. We got to lead souls to Christ. But we first got to seek the power for ourselves. And then once we seek the power, it's all good from there. How do I know that it's all good from there? We quoted Romans 8 and 28. All things work together for the good. Amen. We can say, hey, we might be down and out, but we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. That's how we make it. I know I can make it. I know I can stand because I got the power on the inside of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. I hope you are blessed. I hope you were blessed by the topic today. I pray that your weekend, the rest of your weekend, is a blessing unto you. I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl on today that you be blessed. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Live Network, right here. We are here every Saturday. Amen. And unless the Lord says otherwise, I'll be here next week. But I praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. If you do not have a church home and you're in the city of Indianapolis, come on over. Come and celebrate with me at Victory Tabernacle. 761 North Sheffield. Come on over and celebrate with me. Be my guest. And I'll tell them that you can tell them that I sent you over there. And you'll have a good time, too. You'll have a good time. Amen. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you in Jesus' name. And like my grandmother used to say, if I don't see you again, and since we're on the radio, you can't see me, but you can hear me. If you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name.